When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
See him come off the line of scrimmage with that little hop
move step. Off the line of scrimmage.
Delease off the line of scrimmage.
Dick to the face mask as he's coming off the line of scrimmage.
Watch him just slow play this off the line of scrimmage.
Saw the release off the line of scrimmage.
What's going on, people? Welcome to another episode of Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast. We are back, episode 108. Normally, it's Gene bringing in the intro, but unfortunately, he is out sick today. A lot of things happening here down here in Texas with the, you know, with the allergies and the pollen and the ragweed, you know, ramping up around that time. So he doesn't have a voice right now. So I will serve as both voices on today's episode. So Gene, get well soon. We'll see you next week. But today we're gonna go right into it. Free agency frenzy. We're already, you know, into day three. It's been pretty crazy. Started off with a bang. We saw Kirk Cousins sign with the Falcons. Saw Russell Wilson start, you know, sign with the Steelers. But we just have a ton to get to. We got some big winners. We got some big losers. A lot of questionable fits. A lot of fantastic fits. But, you know, let's just dive into it real quick, man. Like, let's start with quarterbacks. You know, it's been a pretty active quarterback market, I'd say. Pretty active quarterback market in free agency. Obviously, I mentioned at the outset, Kirk Cousins signing with the Falcons from the Vikings. And, you know, it's Drake London season. It's Kyle Pitt season. Bijan Robinson. They got a new offensive coordinator. I love the fit for Atlanta. And, you know, they're gonna score some points on offense. They're gonna do some things on offense that they could not do last year because they were handcuffed by Arthur Smith. But now the handcuffs are off. Now they're free, and they're gonna run an actual, real NFL offense there. And I know Kirk Cousins is coming off an Achilles injury, but by all accounts, he is on schedule. You know, ready to rock as soon as the season starts, and hopefully he can take that Falcons offense. And we anticipated he will to new heights. Now, the next quarterback, Russell Wilson, signed with the Steelers. Pretty good move on their part. And it's kind of funny because we thought that, I mean, we saw a report maybe a couple of weeks ago before free agency started that the Steelers weren't interested in any other quarterbacks and they were content with rolling with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. And we all knew that was a lie. We all knew that was BS because why would you do that? Why would you roll with those two quarterbacks? Because effectively, they got the roster. They got weapons. Now, obviously, they did trade Deontay Johnson. We'll talk about that here in a second. But they have some pretty decent talent on offense. And, you know, we've seen Kenny Pickett faceplant for the most part throughout his NFL career. I don't know if he has more than one game of over two touchdown passes. And as a matter of fact, I think he has one of the lowest touchdown rates in NFL history through a player's I think he's played around, you know, 30 plus games. I think he has like one of the lowest touchdown rates. So that's not good. Russell Wilson, on the other hand, I mean, he was top 10 in a lot of advanced efficiency metrics in 2023. He had through 26 touchdown passes. And, you know, he wasn't that bad. I know the Broncos, you know, they had their shortcomings in 2023 and getting blown out by the Dolphins by 50 points and all that stuff. But Russell Wilson wasn't as bad as his perception is right now. So I like this move with the Steelers, and it's obviously an immediate upgrade for that offense. And then a couple of under-the-radar moves from the quarterback position. Saw Gardner Minshew go to the Raiders. Not mad at that at all. He'll probably start some games over Aiden O'Connell. The Raiders do have the 11th pick. I'm not sure if they're in position to really get a quarterback in the draft. Maybe they trade up, maybe they don't. But he's, you know, Gardner Minshew, veteran, you know, veteran presence. He can give you some decent and usable weeks. I think he'll start a lot of games in 2024. And maybe at the very, very end of your best ball drafts, round 18. I mean, he's not a terrible option, especially if you want a couple of decent weeks from, you know, he's going to be stacked with Devontae Adams, stacked with Jacoby Myers and Michael Mayer. And so that offense isn't going to be bad. I mean, isn't going to be that bad. So Gardner Minshew is not pretty under the radar move. Jacoby Brissett returning to the Patriots, so he's obviously going to be a bridge guy until the guy that they start it gets up to speed. I'm sorry, the guy that they draft near the top of the draft gets up to speed. At least that's where the wind is blowing. That's the direction the wind is blowing right now. That could change about a month and a half away from the draft. So a lot can change since then. From that point on, Sam Darnold to the Vikings, 1 year, $10 million. I don't think the Vikings are done with the quarterback position. There's a couple of options. I think they're still in play for Justin Fields. I really do. I don't know if we're just going to stick with Sam Darnold and draft the guy. I think Justin Fields should be in under consideration for the Vikings. Justin Jefferson was on video a couple of years ago talking about how he likes Justin Fields. And so, I mean, look, get your star receiver, a quarterback that he wants to play with. And he's been on record of saying that he wants to play with Justin Fields. And so that's just kind of one thing to think about. I don't think the Vikings are done with the quarterback position. And then the last one, super underrated, Joe Flacco going to the Colts. Joe Flacco going to the Colts is a pretty good move. And especially if you look at what Joe Flacco did for the Browns offense over the last five or six games of the 2023 season, they were near the top of the league by a wide margin in pass rate over expected, by a wide margin. It's like they were just far and away. They were just passing the ball at an insane clip. Now he's obviously not going to start that many games because Anthony Richardson is the guy there, and it allows Anthony Richardson to at least get healthy, but. It wouldn't shock me if Joe Flacco does start some games, right? It wouldn't shock me given Anthony Richardson's playing style. He had multiple injuries in his rookie year in a span of like four games. He had a concussion and then a shoulder injury, and then finally he missed the rest of the season. So hopefully they work with Anthony Richardson this offseason and maybe he can adjust his playing style a little bit. But it wouldn't shock me to see if Joe Flacco start some games in 2024. But that was a good move on the Colts part. Now on to running backs. I think they've won free agency as a collective. We're seeing a little bit of a running back renaissance. We're seeing a return a little bit. There are just so many talented running backs available right in free agency this year. And we saw Barkley, we saw Josh Jacobs, we saw Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift, Devin Singletary, all these guys change teams, right? Obviously, I think the biggest winner at the running back position, far and away, is Saquon Barkley. Far and away, he's going to an offense where the previous 2 years, the starting running back has been top five in the NFL in rushing yards. Right, so we saw Miles Sanders in 2022; he finished in the top five. DeAndre Swift last year, who I like a lot, and I like the fit in Chicago, he was top five in the NFL in rushing yards. And so this is a really, really good fit. And just to illustrate like how different it's going to be and how much better life will be for Saquon Barkley. Last season, Saquon Barkley was hit in the backfield on 46.6% of his carries. And that's the third highest rate of regular running backs, per FTN fantasy. And, for context, in the Eagles offense, DeAndre Swift, conversely, was hit in the backfield on 27.9% of his carries in 2023, and that was the lowest rate among running backs. So it's wheels up for Saquon Barkley. He still has a lot of juice. I know his efficiency metrics have kind of gone down the last couple of years, but over 1,200 yards, double-digit touchdowns, back-to-back years. I mean, he's still a dude. He still can break games open, and I really like the fit in Philadelphia. And then the biggest surprise. From the running back position, the biggest shocker to me was Josh Jacobs signing with the Packers. Like, I don't think anybody saw that coming. I know they were talking with Aaron Jones before free agency opened and free agency started, and that tampering period of tampering window opened about a potential restructure. But I didn't anticipate them signing another running back. We thought that was just going to be like a 1-2 punch because, you know, AJ Dillon's a free agent. They had no intentions of re-signing him. So we thought for a while that it's going to be Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones as a 1-2 punch, but they immediately informed him an hour later that he was going to be released. But Josh Jacobs signed $448, and, you know, coincidentally, Aaron Jones signed that exact same deal, you know, many years ago when he signed his deal with the Packers, $448. I think Aaron Jones got slightly more guaranteed money, just like really slightly, but it's that's the running back market in a nutshell, I guess, right? I mean, I think it was pretty interesting that he signed the same exact deal. And conversely, Aaron Jones immediately was not out of work very, very long, signed with the Vikings for $7 million. So I like that fit for him in that Kevin O'Connell offense, and he gets to, you know, be a 1-2 punch with Ty Chandler. So I like Aaron Jones kind of bouncing back on his feet and being thrusted back into a good offense. At least in my opinion, I think the Vikings offense will still be good, even without Kirk Cousins in it, because they got Justin Jefferson, they got Jordan Addison. I know TJ Hockenson is coming back from an ACL injury, but that offense is still going to be, they're going to put up some numbers. And then we had Tony Pollard signing with the Titans. Interesting fit. I didn't anticipate him signing with the Titans. They have, you know, Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears are, you know, they're very similar. Their skill sets are, at least. Tony Pollard was brutal at the goal line last year. Could not score a touchdown to save his life. Maybe that's unlucky, him being unlucky. But overall, I mean, I guess I get it for the Titans for adding talent around Will Levis. That's the biggest takeaway that I have for that Tony Pollard pick. I mean, it's just more, you know, more weapons for Will Levis, and they also signed, you know, Calvin Ridley today, but we'll get to him a little bit later. But DeAndre Swift to the Bears, I love that move. He's going to get the first crack at a bell cow role in Chicago. I know they've been missing that guy since David Montgomery left. But I think DeAndre Swift, he has his first 1,000-yard season, because he wasn't really used as, you know, a primary rusher. His calling card was, you know, the damage that he can do in the receiving game. And I think he can do that here in Chicago as well. You know, 3 for 24, $15 million guaranteed. So we know with these contracts, usually 2 years, and the third year is usually non-guaranteed. So he'll definitely be locked in Chicago for 2 years to get an opportunity at a bell cow role. We just didn't see enough from Roschon Johnson to really, you know, evoke a lot of confidence. He looked kind of mid for the most part last year. I don't know what it was. I mean, he just did not look great. And especially after that concussion he sustained, he looked even worse. And so this was a good move for the Bears to get an electric running back. We saw DeAndre Swift be electric in Philadelphia. And so I like that move for them. And then Devin Singletary to the Giants, really good move. They immediately replaced Saquon Barkley with him. He had a good season with Houston, career high 898 yards, coming off of a career year, 3 for $16 million. So not a bad deal for Devin Singletary. And I think he's going to, you know, be obviously a primary back. But I don't know if the Giants are done adding a running back. They may draft a guy in day two or day three, but they do have Eric Gray there as well. That's an underrated best ball pick that, you know, a lot of people need to be on a lot of people's radar. So just an FYI there. And then Gus Edwards signing with the Chargers, reuniting with Greg Roman. So that's a pretty good move there. But I think everyone expects them to draft a running back, and Jim Harbaugh. I think they're going to go after, you know, Blake Corum from Michigan. I think that's the most viable landing spot for the Chargers. So they'll have Gus Edwards and Blake Corum to rock it out at running back in that backfield. Antonio Gibson to the Patriots. Now that's a move that I'm always going to be an Antonio Gibson truther. I think that's a pretty good move on their part. He's going to be the passing down guy, and I think he's going to get some opportunity to succeed in that offense behind Ramondre Stevenson. He'll take some more third downs away from him. This is obviously bad news, I think, in my opinion, for Ramondre Stevenson, who I like as well. But Antonio Gibson, he is a pass catching weapon. He signed a 3-year deal with $11 million. Not a short term deal. Not really that short term. 3 years. I mean, he's gonna be a specialty back plus, I believe, for New England and whatever quarterback they get. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And then we have Zach Moss to the Bengals, two for $8 million, and then they released Joe Mixon. I mean, Zach Moss had a pretty good year, had some pretty huge spike weeks for the Colts in 2023 in relief of Jonathan Taylor. But Zach Moss to the Bengals, I mean, it's an okay move. I mean, Zach Moss, I mean, he's proven to at least be viable in spurts. So it's a pretty short-term deal, 2 for $8 million, really not that much. In the grand scheme of things. And then speaking of Joe Mixon, they traded him to the Texans for a 7th rounder. What a steal that was, right? What a steal that was. He's going to be a 1-2 punch with Damien Pierce. Now, Joe Mixon, I mean, his efficiency metrics, the fantasy community has been very, very low on him from an efficiency standpoint, but he could still, catch passes out of the backfield. He can still command targets out of the backfield, and he's in a pretty good offense. A Bobby Slowick offense with C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell and Nico Collins and those dudes. So he's going to be, player to player, I think Joe Mixon slightly better than Zach Moss, in my opinion. So and then lastly, we have Derrick Henry going to the Ravens. Could not be a better fit, right? Could not be a better fit. Gus Edwards had double digit touchdowns last year, and Derrick Henry, King Henry. We've seen him do some things that, a lot of players can only dream of doing. And I think in this Ravens offense, he is going to eat, and he is steaming up draft boards right now in best ball, because he will give you those spike weeks, especially as a member of the Baltimore Ravens. So that's basically all the running backs. But again, as I mentioned from the outset, running backs won, man. Shout out to the running backs. That Zoom call worked. that Zoom call worked for them. So I'm really, really proud of the running backs. They got their money, man. They got the money. They got some pretty decent guarantees, I would say. So shout out to them. Kudos to them. They got it done. All right. So wide receivers are next. Wide receivers. We saw it kicked off with Jerry Jeudy going to the Browns for a 5th and a 6th round pick. He joins the all hope hype wide receiver core. My boy Elijah Moore is there. Now he gets pushed down to the number 3 wide receiver. Amari Cooper, one of my guys as well. He's there. He had a really, really good season for Cleveland last year. But I just don't think Jerry Jeudy is that good of a player. I mean, we just have not seen much from him throughout his NFL career. I know he had a career high in 2022 of just over 900 yards, but he doesn't have a single 1,000-yard season, and he's just, I don't know. There's something missing with him. He runs, his route running, he kind of oversells his route running a little bit, at least from my liking. But the production just has not been there for Jerry Jeudy. And, he's leaving a lot to be desired. And I don't know how much better this makes the Browns receiving core. To pair with Deshaun Watson, who himself hasn't been healthy. So I just don't know what to make of it. I really don't know what to make of this move. I guess it's an extra body for Deshaun Watson to throw to, but we just have not seen much from Jerry Jeudy to really invoke a lot of confidence in us. So that's that one. It's not necessarily a head scratcher. It's just one that I'm curious to see the return on that one. But the return on investment on that one from Denver's standpoint, I mean, you got to be kicking yourself, right? Drafted in the first round and being only able to net a 5th or a 6th, not good at all. And speaking of trades or potential trades, T. Higgins requested a trade out of Cincinnati. We thought this was a possibility that he could request a trade. I know the Bengals GM came out prior to free agency or during the combine, saying that they have no intentions of trading him. Even the previous offseason, no intentions of trading him. But now T. Higgins came out and demanded a trade. So that's an interesting one. We know that there's a couple of landing spots that makes sense for him. Kansas City Chiefs, they just cleared out some cap space to get one of these wide receivers that are available. The Buffalo Bills, they just cleared out some cap space to get, you know, some potential, you know, marquee wide receiver. Nobody is taking that Mac Hollins signing that the Bills made very seriously at all. But there's a couple of options there. I mean, it should be between Kansas City and Buffalo to acquire T. Higgins or maybe even take it a step further, Carolina. You know, Carolina, I mean, they just traded for Deontay Johnson. That was a good move, and they're all in on Bryce Young. That's what they're showing. They, you know, the offensive line that they signed and getting Bryce Young some pass catching weapons. I don't think they're done adding a receiver. They're probably double dipping the draft as well. They're going to give Bryce Young every chance to succeed in Carolina. And a guy like T. Higgins is available, and we'll see what kind of compensation he garners. But those are the three potential landing spots I see for T. Higgins, you know, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Carolina. And so we'll see what happens with T. Higgins. And, you know, obviously we talked about Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson got traded from Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh has a void at wide receiver. They'll be probably attacking that in the draft, or maybe signing a free agent that's available. So we'll see what happens with in that situation. But yeah, and then we saw Gabe Davis signing pretty early to the Jags, which, you know, I'm not entirely sure of the fit there. But you know, they have Christian Kirk underneath. I guess they're depending on Gabe Davis to be a deep threat. Hopefully he can be more consistent in Jacksonville, because there was a lot of games in Buffalo last year where he was invisible. He would zero ball. He would literally give you nothing. And then the next week he'll give you 5 for 150 and 2 touchdowns. You know, just much like we saw on, you know, Saturday night against the Chargers that one week. You know, the previous week he did nothing. And then the following week he decides to go off. It was just a roller coaster. I think since that 200-yard game in the playoffs against Kansas City, it's just been a roller coaster for Gabe Davis. So hopefully he can find some more consistency in Jacksonville. And then Calvin Ridley to the Titans. And we kind of talked about that briefly on the outset. But, man, I like it. I like the move for them. You know, from a helping Will Levis, you know, succeed perspective, I like that. But it's kind of funny. You kind of scratch your head, because why couldn't they pay AJ Brown 4 years, $100 million? Because you effectively paid Calvin Ridley the same thing. Why couldn't they do that? Why, like, you know, so he's much older, less productive, but you know, that's how they want to build their team. And they think Calvin Ridley is, you know, a bit of a needle mover. He'll probably be, you know, a 1A, he'll be the 1A to DeAndre Hopkins 1B in that Titans offense. And, you know, they still have Treylon Burks, who, you know, he hasn't been healthy, but he's still talented. And I think, you know, he can have, you know, some decent weeks here and there in 2024. But I mean, that offense is kind of taking shape a little bit, you know, post Derrick Henry. You know, we've got Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard as a 1-2 tandem. Weird pairing, but still two talented dudes. So we'll see how they get used. And then, you know, they signed Calvin Ridley, and they still have, you know, Treylon Burks, and then DeAndre Hopkins, who's probably, I think, his last year as a Titan. And so Will Levis is not set up bad at all in Tennessee. So I think that I know for me, when I'm going through these best ball drafts, I'm going to have some Titans. I'm going to have some of these Titans pieces, because you just never know. You just never know. They can come out of nowhere. We see offenses come out of nowhere all the time. This could be one of those offenses that may surprise some people in 2024. So just keep a lookout for the Titans. And then who is still on the market? Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown is still on the market, man. I now that, you know, Calvin Ridley signed, you know, he's probably angling for a similar deal, but I think at the end of the day, he's probably going to have to settle for a 1-year deal, and, you know, short-term deal, because he's had, you know, the foot problem for multiple years, multiple lower body injuries, and he's going to have to prove it, and he's going to have to show teams that he can remain healthy. He can remain healthy, and and warrants, you know, the large contract that he is probably commanding now that Calvin Ridley signed his 4-year, $90+ million deal. So that's just, one to keep in mind. But those are the major ones that I just wanted to kind of highlight and just kind of share my thoughts on, because, free agency is still off and running. Mike Williams got released by the Chargers. They didn't want to have that, $20+ million cap hit. So there's a void for the Chargers, and they were already probably going to draft wide receiver in the first round anyways. So this just kind of accelerates that. This does not mean Quentin Johnston's season, because we've seen Quentin Johnston just completely face plant. He had multiple opportunities in 2023 to show something, and he didn't. And it's very concerning. I'm not ready to, conventional wisdom would suggest that you should not bury a player after 1 year, but we didn't see anything that can get us excited about Quentin Johnston in 2024 and beyond. So, hopefully he can get on track. But we know the Chargers will be targeting wide receiver, and they'll be targeting wide receiver pretty heavily. And then we saw Darnell Mooney obviously go to the Falcons. I mentioned that's a pretty good move on their part. Deep threat. Drake London is the kind of the do-it-all wide receiver, contested catch guy, underneath guy, possession wide receiver guy. But he's going to go high in drafts. And Darnell Mooney, he's probably free right now in best ball. At the very end of drafts, he can be a back end, can be your, if you have a 6-1 wide receiver build or 7 wide receiver build, he could be your 6th or 7th wide receiver, and he can have some spike weeks, especially with Kirk Cousins now in town. And for context, the Falcons, they have not, over the last couple of years, haven't really thrown the ball that much on a per game basis. Last year, Desmond Ridder had 25 pass attempts, and last year Kirk Cousins averaged 38 pass attempts. So you're probably going to get in that 38 range, that 30, 35 ish range for Kirk Cousins in 2024. So that's going to be a lot more opportunities and for them to take some deep shots. And we'll see Darnell Mooney on the receiving end of some of those. So yeah, again, love the fit in Atlanta, and love Atlanta's offense. So yeah, that's effectively it. There's not really too much at tight end. We saw Dalton Schultz resign with the Texans. That was good. We saw Noah Fant resign with the Seahawks. That's a pretty decent move for them as well. I still like Noah Fant. I think he's really talented. But then we saw the Commanders sign Zach Ertz. Doesn't really move the needle for me, but especially from a fantasy perspective. But yeah, my biggest takeaways from free agency, the running backs, they've knocked it out of the park. No, kudos to those agents negotiating those contracts, and kudos to those running backs for winning, man. Kudos to those running backs for winning. Obviously, the Falcons are big winners, and the Titans, they did some good things from a team building perspective. Obviously, Pollard and Tajay Spears are a weird pairing, but they're trying to get talent around. They're trying to get talent around Will Levis. Same thing for the Panthers, trying to get talent around Bryce Young. They got the offensive line. They traded for Deontay Johnson, and I don't think they're done dipping into the wide receiver pool. Derrick Henry going to the Ravens. Love that move. But yeah, I don't love the moves the Cowboys are making, because they're not making any moves. But we'll save that for another day. But that's all I got for you guys. There's probably more free agency stuff happening as we speak. But as of right now, man, those are my thoughts. So, be sure you check us out on Twitter at OffTheLineFF. Check out DestinationDevy.com and all the wonderful tools that we have that we're utilizing on a routine basis. Check out the Trinity tool that Ray GQ created. Really, really dope tool. And just check out all the content that we have on the site, man. It's, we're doing some big things at Destination Devy, man. And follow Gene on Twitter at Fantasy Genes, G-E-N-E-S. And send him your well wishes and tell him you hope that his voice gets better so he can be back on the airwaves next week. And follow me on Twitter at just_Igo9.